life, yeah. Freedom, freedom, we've been.
Hello and welcome back to Freedom Revamp, the video podcast. We are excited. This season has been so fun so far, and we hope that you're enjoying every episode that you've seen. So, today's episode, let me tell y'all something. This is something that I personally struggled with, and I know that I've said that on previous episodes, but I'm so excited that we're tapping into issues that are relatable this season and ones that we're battling with ourselves so that we can give you real conversation. So, today's topic is imposter syndrome. And Courtney, could you please do the pleasure of welcoming our guest?
Yes, I am super, super excited for today's guest because she has a podcast of her own that I tune into, and it is like, y'all got to catch it. So today we have Alo of Shaking the Table podcast to discuss this topic with us, and it is going to be amazing.
Hello, Alo. Welcome.
Hi. Alo,
we are so excited to talk to you about today's topic of imposter syndrome, and we love to hear your feedback as well as join in conversation with you. But before we get too far into conversation, they already know what's coming next.
Yes.
Ask every guest, as this is the core purpose of what we do here, how do you define freedom?
Ooh, I love this question. Y'all get deep right off the gate. For me, freedom is the ability to be my creative self without limitations. I grew up in a really like strict family, so I struggled to like find my identity and also just be myself authentically. And so now as an adult, I'm able to like change my hair and get the nose rings and have like the little tapestries and just show my creativity in any way. And so I'm kind of tapping into that energy right now, wearing yellow, which is like the color to me of freedom, of vitality, of joy and happiness. So that's what freedom really is to me. Just no limitations. Do whatever you want, whatever makes you happy, and do it with a smile.
So based on that definition, our founder has come up with the concept of practicing freedom. And she says that practicing freedom is so imperative, that freedom is not the destination, but it's something that we journey towards or that we journey throughout. So how do you think that you practice freedom?
I think I'm just very unapologetic about the expression that I was just talking about. And I mean that in a sense of like, I wear things that are going to make me feel good, even if I'm not having a good day. I decorate my space. People underestimate the power of the energy in the room around you. So my bathroom is a sanctuary. My bedroom is a sanctuary. Everywhere that I lay my head, sit my tail, whatever, is a creative expression or the embodiment of who I want to be. And that is joy. And so I guess I practice freedom by being creative, allowing that to come out, but then also radiating love. The more you kind of live in that energy of love, the more you kind of just are free. I can't explain it. It's just more of like an energy exchange where you just you're positive and you give love freely. You give the compliments freely and you're not doing it in hopes that you get it back, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, that's a wonderful definition. I love every time we bring someone on the show, we get different answers. And then when we ask them about practicing freedom, we get things that we can implement into our own lifestyle. So one of the things that stuck out for me in your practice is understanding the concept of like what the spaces around you, that the effect. So that's something I'm definitely taking into consideration. I'm actually getting ready to redecorate my room. So I'm really excited to like things that I place in the room so that I can create my own sanctuary, like you said.
Yes.
Awesome. So as we mentioned earlier, we are getting ready to hop into the heavy topic of imposter syndrome. Now, this is something that has sprung up more recently in the pandemic and was going viral at one point with different memes and things on the social medias. But I think that it's going to be great to talk about this with my fellow African-American woman and how we experience that specifically here in America, whether it be in corporate America, in our social lives and relationships, or whatever the case may be. So ladies, let's jump right into it. So my first question for you all is, how do you define imposter syndrome?
So for me, I feel like it's this persistent self-doubt. It's I'm undervaluing myself and what I bring to the table. I am saying things like I'm just lucky, or, you know, it's just luck, or I was in the right place at the right time. It's almost like shrinking yourself or shrinking your resume down to what you think is consumable to others.
Ooh.
And you're doing that in a way that, like, sometimes it's you doing it unconsciously, and then sometimes it's an active effort to self-sabotage you. And so I want us to kind of dig kind of into that self-sabotage as we go along, but just a base level, it's the self-doubt, it's the anxiety, and it's the undervaluing of the self.
I love that.
Yeah. We've talked about self-sabotage this season as well. So I think, honestly, I would agree with you in the fact that it's undermining or undervaluing yourself. But to be more personal for me, I think imposter syndrome looked like being around a certain group of peers and trying to blend in with what they had going on, and then like going to a completely different group and then blending in with what they had going on. So for me, and I think we're going to get into this later, it almost came from not knowing my identity in the first place. So there are some people who might undermine their value, but there are some people, like in my case, who don't even know their value.
Absolutely. I think it's awesome that you brought up self-sabotage, because like Courtney mentioned, we do talk about that this season. But one of the things that I think defines imposter syndrome for me is this feeling of almost like an exaggerated humility. Like we are almost too humble in certain situations. Like you mentioned, like you brought up the key point of like, oh, I just got lucky, or whatever the case may be. And we're negating all of the hard work and effort that went into whatever the task or success might be that we have achieved. The Harvard Business Review actually defines imposter syndrome as doubting your ability and feeling like a fraud. It's disproportionately affects the high achieving people who find it difficult to accept their accomplishments. So we just talked about that, like the concept of like you have an accomplishment and it's like, oh, I can't really accept this. Like, no, I didn't do it. I just got lucky, or it just worked out that way, or whatever the case may be. And I think that's something that we unfortunately do a lot. Just kind of being standing in my own truth as an African-American woman. So often we take that the things that we do great and we credit them to luck, or we credit them to something else. And one thing that I do credit most of my success to is God. And I won't deny that, because a lot of the strength and the will that I have to do the things I do comes from him. But sometimes I do give other people credit for the things that I do, because I'm like, oh, I don't want to take all the credit. I don't want people to think that, yeah, you know, full of myself or whatever the case may be. But that's not the case. So I think that sometimes imposter syndrome too is like a piece of like combating the lack of self-confidence, like, mm-hmm, like self-sabotage or low self-esteem or whatever the case may be stemmed from that. So as we go into our next question, I kind of brought up a little bit of that just now, but what do you think are some things that contribute to imposter syndrome? Like, what are things and traits or feelings that we might have that contribute to this feeling of imposter syndrome?
Mm-hmm. You know what? You actually just touched on it when we were talking about things like race. So I feel like race, gender, age, sometimes sexual orientation, like there's so many different things that kind of play into identity wise. And so Courtney, you touched on this in the beginning of like, if you aren't secure in your identity, or if you're still kind of figuring that out, I feel like that is also part of the what can contribute to that feeling. Because if the sense of self or the lines around like who your identity is blurred and you can't really see that clearly, it's like, how can you focus on how you're coming up to others? Or, you know, and so it's that there's this need to prove yourself. For me, my imposter syndrome comes up from wanting to be a perfectionist, wanting to have everything together, or wanting to come across like I have things together. And that's, I think, the biggest form of self-sabotage for me is like, I'm a high achiever. I want you to think I'm great. I want to be knowledgeable about all things related to this field. And so, yeah, I think it just comes from your core identity and then the need to just show people that you are who you think you are, you know?
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Really quickly on what you just said, because it just kind of resonated to me. Thinking about the concept of like not having the skill or whatever, or being a perfectionist, sometimes you feel like you don't have the skill or you don't have the ability to do something. So sometimes like this feeling of inadequacy contributes. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's not that we're inadequate, as they say. So it's, you put that on yourself, you project that on yourself and feeling like, okay, maybe I can't do this or I can't do this right now. Cause I talked about this in another episode this season about how sometimes my feeling of like wanting to, everything to be perfect causes me to be a bit of a procrastinator. Cause I'm like, if I can't get it done the way I want it to be done, or if I can't get it done perfectly, then maybe I should wait, or I'll do it later when I feel like I'm more prepared to do it, or whatever the case may be. So I think a feeling of inadequacy definitely contributes to the feeling of imposter syndrome.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest things is also comparison. We live in a society where it's like, I have to keep up with this person and this celebrity and this friend or cousin or whoever it might be. And comparison, if you've seen me post on social media, it is actually like the thief of joy. It's one of the hugest things that can steal our joy from us. So when you're constantly comparing yourself to what so-and-so has going on, then you feel like you need to meet that societal standard, and then you end up being an imposter. You don't truly walk in your identity. And like I mentioned earlier, not knowing your identity can also be another one. So I feel like probably going to get into this later, but taking the time to honestly discover you could be a solution, but we'll get into that later.
Absolutely. So we've kind of talked about it, and it seems like everybody kind of put hints out there that they've had experiences, but I like to dive a little bit deeper, and you can get as vulnerable as you want, but mm-hmm. Have you ever experienced imposter syndrome? And if so, what was that like for you?
I'm gonna tell you this has been my whole life. And I think that me, and I appreciate, first of all, Becca, y'all even doing this, because there are certain topics surrounding like our mental health and our internal feelings that people are afraid to talk about. So I commend you all, because that's something that I struggle with on my show. It's like, how vulnerable do we want to be? How much do we want to shake this table? And so the fact that we're even having this conversation is just like, big ups to y'all for even setting the stage. So start there. But for me, I do it all the time. Every project, every idea. And I think it comes from me being just a creative being in general. Like, I am interested in so many things. I have a spiritual business. I'm a journalist in my daytime. And I have all these ideas and different things in different avenues. And so each of those avenues, I have imposter syndrome, because I'm like, people have been studying this their whole lives. They've been researching this. They have like degrees and certifications. And I'm just somebody who woke up one day and was like, yeah, I know how to do that. Or yeah, I'm good at this. And so what qualifies me to do that? And I just talked about me being a perfectionist. So it's like, you know, I want to come out of the gate. If I'm going to come with it, I'm ready to come with it. So it's with the podcast thing, I see people who are more eloquent, people who have been doing this for longer, people who have a team. And I internalize that for a little bit, because it's just me. Social media, it's me. I am the sole person shaking the table. And so I think that there's always just a lot of pressure on me to succeed, and also to like be a visionary or be like a real creative or a real artist. So it's definitely in every aspect of my life. But one thing I learned is fake it till you make it, right? So the idea of, y'all are not gonna catch me slipping. Unless I tell you that I'm not confident about something, you mm-hmm. won't know. Because like even now I'm like nervous a little bit, but you wouldn't know, because I am just, you know, I'm oozing that confidence. I know that what I'm speaking about is law. I can speak on my experience better than anyone else can, because it's me. So yeah. You just have to have a certain level of self-esteem. And I know that was something that we were going to touch on later, but I think it's just, the more I experience it, the more I'm like, you know what? We've been here before and we've gotten through it every single time. Imposter syndrome, pull up.
Right. Where you at?
Right.
Yeah. For me, I'll speak about it from two different experiences. So a lot of my personal followers know that I had a music career that I'm trying to get back into, but I was so caught up in not knowing what I wanted my sound to be. So I would be like, okay, I'm gonna write about this because so-and-so wrote about this. I'm gonna write about that because Beyonce, Shakira, whoever wrote about it. And so I sent it to my producer like when I was just doing a rough draft, and he's also a friend of mine, and he sent it back and he was like, no, because that's not you. Why are you talking about this? That's not who you are. So I feel like it's really good that I had him in my corner, because if I had released that, y'all, I was like 16. My mama would have. I would not be here today. Praise the Lord. Amen. And another experience is, like Lo was saying, with Freedom Revamped. I was like, oh my gosh, I see this brand doing this, this brand doing that. And it's just like, you want to keep up because you want your brand to be successful. And I'm learning that it's okay to keep up, but do it in your own right. Because some of the stuff, if we were to transition and try to be imposters of what these other brands are doing, then our followers would be like, do y'all have like a new founder or something? What's going on here? So those are two of the like life-altering experiences I've had with imposter syndrome.
Absolutely. I like to bring up a imposter syndrome scenario that is very close to this. So Courtney actually reached out to me to be the podcast host. And I remember thinking, like, why does she think I'm going to be capable of this? I don't have anything on my social media or anywhere that says that I'm qualified to be a podcast host. But she knew something, or God showed her something that I had no idea of. And I remember doing the first couple episodes and I'm thinking, like, oh my gosh, like, she's listening to this and be like, why did I trust this girl to do this? And the further we got into it and the more comfortable I got, I was like, okay, I feel a little bit more comfortable, but there was still always this feeling of, am I being a great host? Am I being a perfect host, or whatever the case may be? Because like you mentioned too, having that feeling of perfectionism, it's like, I do hear other podcasts. Like I listen to several podcasts, via Spotify, and like The Read and all of them have this, they have their own thing down. They have, you know, segments that they do. They have catchphrases that everybody knows of, or whatever the case may be. They've built up audiences and they have followers who stand by them and listen to them all the time. And I was just like, who's going to want to listen to me? Talk to me? Like, who's going to want to hear me ask people questions? Or am I even entertaining? Or am I asking the right questions, or whatever the case may be? But I think that the more, like you mentioned, the low self-esteem thing, the more confident I got in it, or the more confident I got in understanding that this is, she's trusting me to do this. She's trusting me to be me. And the more that I am myself and I do that in an unapologetic and authentic way, then we can produce a show that is going to be something that people can relate to. And I've had all kinds of guests come on the show since we've been doing it who have been like, oh my God, I love this experience. And Courtney has reached out to so many guests to be on the show that have been like super excited just to have been afforded the experience. So throughout all of this, there's been guests who have been experiencing imposter syndrome along with me. And like together we have been coming into ourselves and understanding that like we are deserving of this space. We are deserving of this platform. So I would like to just say a quick thank you to Courtney for believing in me, because I no longer feel like an imposter and I feel like I'm doing okay. So we're doing well.
And you know what's crazy too, to touch on your point, like there was this tweet, I'm always like bookmarking little tweets and stuff like that, but it was talking about how you don't have to be a master of something to show up in that space. Yeah. And I printed it out. I wish I had it so I can like show y'all how I have it on the index card. But I would read it to myself every day. Like, you don't have to be a master. You don't have to be a master, because I think a lot of people go into these spaces thinking that. My first podcast episode was recorded on this iPhone. Well, not this phone, because it's an 11, but it was recorded on the iPhone 10, and I thought I was really doing something, eating the girls up. And it wasn't good. Like, I listened to that first episode. I had, like, DJ air horns and sound effects. Would never do that again, but it was a learning experience. It was fun. Mm-hmm. I was in my kitchen. I had a bottle of wine. I was ready to go. Like, and sometimes you have to just try. Mm-hmm. And people are like, oh, I thought that was so good, or that was so much better than my first episode. I'm like, girl, why you want to stop? But at the end of the day, it's you realizing that just putting your foot in the water, it's actually not as cold as you think, you know? It's like, yeah. You'd be like, oh, I'm scared. And you put your toe, you'd be like, oh, girl, it's warm. Let me get in there. You invite your friend in. They invite their friend in. And it's a pool party at that point, because you jumped in and you've already, like, been acclimated. So I want people to think about that. You don't have to be a master. You don't have to be the smartest person. If anything, use that platform to get to know the people who are masters, the people who are elevating. Like, come on now, 2 + 2 = 4, and some of y'all getting 6. Like, it's easier than we think, y'all. Just try.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Thank you, Lo. So we kind of touched on it, and now we get to dive in deeper. But I want to know if you all believe that imposter syndrome could be a side effect of low self-esteem. If so, why or why not?
Yes. And if for, when I'm not gonna lie to y'all, when I first saw this, I was like, no denial, it is. And I'm gonna tell you why, because it's obvious. This is where the no kind of came from, or like the sometimes, or the circumstantial, but I'm definitive. So we're gonna say yes. You can obviously have high self-esteem in other areas of your life, but still struggle in a career sense, or like a goal or project sense. Like me, mm-hmm. I'm confident in certain areas, but in other areas, I'm like, ooh, maybe I need to work on that. Like, I'm good at the networking because I love my personality, and that's something that other people enjoy my energy, but I struggle with taking that and relaying it into an actual opportunity. So mm-hmm. that's the space where I'm like, ooh, imposter syndrome. But the front end, I got you. The back end, I need help. But when you question like your worthiness, that is self-esteem. Like, you think people are better than you. You have trouble with accepting feedback. You could be overcritical of yourself. And so the way I look at it is, if I have healthy self-esteem, I know that even if I'm not good at something, I can work on it. Or I reframe it as, how can I learn? Who can I learn from? Where can I go so that I get that? And then you also accept your strengths and weaknesses. But someone with low self-esteem, and I know because this is something that I've been struggling with over the last couple of years, is I was having trouble receiving that feedback. I was overly critical of myself. I didn't think that I belonged in a lot of spaces. And the more I worked on my confidence and my self-esteem and my self-worth, I was like, who better to do it than me? Mm-hmm. Oh, who better than me? Like, people can, and it's such a cliche, corny phrase, but it's true. Like, if somebody can have everything that you have, but they don't do it like you. Somebody can have the exact same show name, exact same topic. Somebody could do an episode on imposter syndrome. Like, someone can literally do everything that I do, but it won't be like me. And that's my power. Me showing up as me, that's my superpower. And until we get that, like, stamped, get a tattoo on your forehead, like, I am me and that is my superpower. Until we realize that, we can't get anywhere. That's healthy self-esteem. So yes, mm-hmm. absolutely a side effect of it. The more you learn and grow and stand tall, like that superpower pose, you really have to do that because you're like, I got this, let's go.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, I would say for sure it is. If you were confident in yourself, whatever area it is that you're being an imposter in, then you wouldn't feel the need to be an imposter. So for instance, like she was saying, for me, it was Freedom Revamped in my music career. Had I known that I was, one, meant to do this, two, good at doing it, three, I wouldn't have been called to do it if I wasn't meant to, then I wouldn't have felt the need to say, okay, let me look at this platform to see what they're doing because this is what I need to do. Like she was saying, nobody can do what you're called to do better than you, because clearly God called you for a purpose. So it is definitely a side effect of low self-esteem. And I'm speaking to myself when I say this. I honestly need to take the time to like build my confidence and see that clearly I'm going in the right direction. Otherwise it would have been stopped by now.
Absolutely.
So absolutely.
I'm always right here on the sidelines. But I definitely feel like it's a side effect of low self-esteem. And when I was asking the question, I was like, wow, I could already think of so many reasons why. I think the primary reason why is because when you walk into a room and you have confidence, you own the room. So you mm-hmm. can't be an imposter. This is my room. So if anything, someone else here could be an imposter, but not me because it's my room. And that's with every space of life, that's whether it be in relationships. Because I feel like I used to struggle with imposter syndrome in some of my friend groups. And I know that sounds mm-hmm. crazy. But I'm an introverted extrovert. So sometimes I find myself in spaces where people around me have, you know, they're bonding or whatever the case may be. And I'm just kind of like in my own space until it becomes more of a group setting. And then I get more comfortable. And I'm like, okay, Deshaun is here now. And I used to struggle with that for the longest until I just started being myself authentically. And the energy that I had was something like Lo said, I loved my personality, and then it just so happened that other people love my personality, and I was like, dang, what was I hiding myself for all this time before? Like, I was afraid I might be too goofy, or I was afraid I might be too much for people, because I am I'm a lot. I have a lot of energy to offer the world, so I was worried about that, but the more that I've grown and come into myself, and I've seen my self-esteem shift from where I was, honestly, coming out of grade school and throughout college to coming into my adult years, there's absolutely nothing anyone can tell me anymore. So now I feel like, okay, I'm an imposter. Where this is my space. I'm just coming into this sense, this greater sense of self-esteem, which is almost kind of ridding me of imposter syndrome. Now there are still areas, like Lo said, where I do struggle with low self-esteem, that I still experience imposter syndrome, but the areas that I have developed a greater sense of confidence, there's absolutely nothing you can tell me in those arenas. So I'm happy to see my growth, and praying that it will continue in all of my spaces so that I can walk into every space with the same amount of confidence. Now this next question, I need answers, okay? How can we reassure ourselves that we do belong and that we are capable? Because that's the direct combat to imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. Not belonging or not being capable. So how do we reassure ourselves that we do belong and that we are capable?
Mm-hmm. Easiest one, because I had to be intentional. I wrote a lot of these answers down. So I have a list of five, but one, going off of what you just said, know yourself. The more you know yourself, the less people can project images onto you, and the less you'll start to believe those projections. So I like to think of it as literally, if I have a green screen that already has something on it, it's gonna be hard for someone else to come in and see it and be like, oh, that's not what that is, or that's not a clear image, or I can't see that, whatever they wanna say. Like, you see the thing for what it is. But if it's a blank canvas, people can easily come in and be like, oh, you're not good enough, you're not smart, this person, like, they can come and toss tomatoes on your screen and you won't be able to see anything, because that's where we start to have these blurred lines. When we were kids, when we were like in our youth, our youth level, nobody could tell us anything because we were fearless. I used to literally jump off the roof of my grandmother's house into the garden just because, like, stupidity. But now it's like, I had people in my mind being like, maybe you shouldn't do that. Maybe you should have knee pads. Maybe it's not smart. Maybe you should. And you know that fear becomes ingrained. Mm-hmm. I spent so many of these adult years unlearning that fear and tossing away those, like, negativity and projection. So start there. If you know yourself, no one can project onto you. You're not a blank canvas. You are set in stone, honey. You are a sculpture. You are there to stay. That's the first thing. But in terms of my actual list, don't underestimate affirmations. People be sleeping on me when I be posting my affirmations, thinking that, oh, you know, this is just something she just says. No, I'm about that life. I live this life. I stand in the mirror, the superpower pose, y'all be laughing. Superhero, superpower, whatever you want to call it. But I stand there, and every time I have a conversation or I'm about to do something that is tough for me, which speaking is one of them, I be in the mirror like, girl, you about to eat this up. You about to give it to them, and they gonna enjoy it. They're gonna eat it up like there's no food in their fridge. You hear me? And it's like, when you have that positive self-talk,
yes,
unstoppable. Then we have what my therapist recommended. So when we talk about, like, what works for the self versus, like, this is some, she getting medical with your girl, or whatever the term is, but we got deep psychological. She said, make a list of your strengths and weaknesses and be honest about it. And so that is like you being introspective and reflective as I don't know what, because if you know, like, I'm not the best public speaker. Sometimes I say the wrong stuff and I had to, like, backtrack, because, you know, when you get excited, just word vomit, right? But I know that that's something I need to work on. So what do? I power pose. I write a list of talking points. I talk to myself out loud and make sure things make sense. People are like, what's wrong with her? I'm like, listen, I'm not unhinged. I just want to make sure that clarity is coming through, and I'm being intentional about my words. So whatever you have to do, but be honest in that list. If a strength is making people feel good, that's my top strength. I know that, and I'm gonna use that. So I find ways to connect with people. If I'm going into a job interview and I'm scared, but I know the boss's son is interested in something that I'm interested in, boom, we made a connection off that. Or, you know, just connect with people on a human level if you are afraid, and you'll be surprised. I've been talking to people in job interviews about earrings, and that is how, like, I didn't even know that I was talking to the vice president of the company. I'm just at Starbucks in the line and we kiki-ing, right? Kiki my way into a job. That has literally happened to me so many times. And then going off of that, put yourself out there and ask people in your circle for feedback without getting defensive. I ask my friends all the time, like, how is this coming across? Can you take a look at this, these tweets that I'm about to put out for Shaking the Table? Can you look at this graphic and make sure that the colors are enticing? Or can you listen to this audio to make sure that it's good? Accept their feedback. Like, these are the people who love you. So don't be defensive and don't be like doing too much. And then lastly, something that I just learned about, but I love it. Rejection therapy. It's basically you're doing stuff to that you may get rejected, but it helps you develop that thicker skin. So you're applying to jobs, you're going to DM or to connect with the person who you think is out of your league professionally, on a romantic level. You are reaching out, like not fishing for friends, but kind of just connecting with people. You're like, oh, you're a girl boss, I'm a girl boss, let's get into it, you know? And so putting these feelers out or doing things that scare you is actually healthy. It's a bit unhinged, like I said, but I'm telling y'all, it works. Like me doing that often, it's like my skin is just getting thicker and thicker and thicker. Mm-hmm. And eventually I'm gonna get to a point where I'm like, what you got? Cause I'm ready, you know? So I hope those like resonate.
Definitely, you're preaching to the choir on that last one. I'm an actress, so let me tell you, I am the queen of rejection therapy. That is what we do all day. We audition so often, and sometimes we don't hear. Sometimes we get so close, and then we get rejected, whatever the case may be. And that's built up. I think that's probably the sole reason why I have such high self-esteem, because I just, there's absolutely nothing you can tell me. Like, I go into those spaces so authentically me. I give it the best that I can, and then whatever happens, happens. And I literally don't take anything personally. But if we're talking about ways to reassure ourselves, if I were to like say some of the things that I'm personally doing, I take myself out or like allow myself to enjoy myself or whatever the case may be. And I think one of the things that has really done it for me more recently, especially since we've been going through the pandemic, is spending more time with myself. That's one way that I can reassure myself that I'm capable, because if I take the time to be more self-aware or to really dig into who I am right now and what's the space that I'm in right now. How do you feel? You talked about strengths and weaknesses, Lo, and that's a big thing too. Like, what are my strengths and weaknesses right now? Why are these weaknesses here? Are there things that I can work on or bad habits that I can break or whatever the case may be? That makes me feel more like I belong, because once I've mastered and turned those negatives into positives, then I'm in a space where I feel more confident in who I am. And another thing that has always made me feel like I belong or that I'm more capable is learning my identity in Christ. The more that I identify who I am as a child of God, and I gain the strength in knowing that I am made the way that I am, I'm uniquely made this way for a reason, and that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and that there's no reason why people would need to deny me in the way that I am created, because this is a beautiful creation made by God, the more that I get confidence. And sometimes that's easier said than done in the situations where we're struggling. But when you get a chance to sit back and reflect on those moments, which is why self-reflection and self-awareness are so important, then you get a little bit more confidence. You get a little bit of a stronger feeling of belonging. And then in those spaces where I don't feel capable, sometimes you just aren't capable. You might not know the things you need to know in order to thrive or survive in that realm or that arena of your life. But then how do you fix that? Especially when you're talking professionally, you might not have the skills yet, or you might not have the knowledge to thrive in that professional field. But when you go and you learn those things, maybe you sit down and spend some extra time doing some research on your own, or you look back over policy or procedures or whatever the case may be, then you step up and you have the capability to do what it is that you felt you were incapable of doing. So those are some ways that I reassure myself and make sure that I know that I do belong.
Yeah, I'm going to speak to people who have been in situations like mine, where when you first start out, you don't really compare or you don't really become an imposter, but then you're like in the middle of the process and you start comparing. So for me, it's always looking at quote unquote the evidence. So I look at how when we first started this platform, didn't really have a proper name for it, didn't really know what type of stuff we wanted to post. Had like maybe 5 followers. That was me, my sister, my cousins. And then looking at how the evidence of how we've grown and how people are like, when we don't post, they're like, okay, well, where is Freedom Revamped? So looking at the fact that you have grown from one space to another, and that God or whoever your higher being is wouldn't have brought you from that space into this higher space just to leave you here, knowing that there is more spaces for you to grow. And also, like Lo was saying, affirmations. That's like a huge thing for me, and also manifestation. We talked a little bit about how I feel like those are, society has made those two different things, where some people for affirmations, they just touch the surface, but manifestation is speaking over where you want to be. Because once you put things out into the atmosphere saying, I will be successful, I will get this acting part, my podcast will gain this many followers in this many days, then it becomes word, like it becomes key to everything that is going on. But also putting in the work. If you are experiencing imposter syndrome, then most likely you aren't confident in what you have going on, or you feel that someone else is doing it better than you are. Then simply just take the time to study your craft, whatever it is, and put in the work to become that better person, or entrepreneur, or coworker, or actress that you want to be. Those are all things that I'm currently practicing, so that's why I can speak on them. There might be other things. But I did want to put a follow-up question to what Lo said. But you talked about how when we're younger, we're super confident and we can do all these things without fear. And then as we get older, that fear develops. So I want to ask both of you, where do you think that comes from? Like, why do we all of a sudden grow up and it's like, oh my gosh, if I jump off this building, I'm going to break everything. But when you're younger, you don't think about that.
Well, it's conditioning. It's like, I think about the version of Lo that just was like doing whatever she cared. She was reckless. Like, I literally, it's so funny. Someone asked me the other day, like, what happened to my foot? Because the right side of my, like where my ankle is, it's like completely skinned. And I was like, yeah, I used to be fearless. Like, I was rollerblading one day and I thought that I could do a backflip over this hump and literally just skin my whole leg. And they're like, what was wrong with you? I'm like, I just did whatever. I didn't have another person or example in front of me that was like, you'll fail, you'll get hurt, you'll whatever. So it was like, just do whatever. And then you learn by consequence. And I think as we get older, we see some of those consequences more apparently, like, you know, on a basis level, if you don't do your homework, you could fail out of school. You learn that there's a reaction or a consequence to every action. And you get to a point where you see so many consequences that you start to ask yourself, what could go wrong? And then you answer it. Like, usually you'd be like, what's the worst thing that can happen? And you don't answer it. You just try, and that motivates you and kind of pushes you off the ledge a little bit. But as you get older, there's this, well, if you didn't know what's going to happen, let's tell you. And then you kind of have all these intrusive thoughts. And so I think it just comes from the conditioning. Over time, you see other people fall on their butt and you be like, I don't want that to happen to me though. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I need a plan B. But even you saying you need a plan B is like, you're not betting on yourself fully.
Yeah, absolutely.
How'd that sound?
I think to kind of piggyback off of that, the biggest thing is that there's a great sense of innocence when you're in your youth. You don't know, so you try. It's like the analogy of the stove. We are told the stove is hot, but we have to find out for ourselves. So that when we touch it and we burn ourselves, then we're like, okay, that stove was hot. So the next time we're on the stove, we're not as excited to go reach our hand into it. We might be a little bit more skeptical. So that everything else that comes in life, like life has tons of fires. Life has tons of stoves that we walk up to and we're like, oh wait, I remember touching it and it was hot. I don't know if I want to touch this one. This one might be hot. And it might not be hot, but we will never know because we don't want to try. We don't want to reach and touch it. One big thing that I noticed when I got out of college is that a lot of the things that I was afraid to do was because I saw that other people were afraid to do them. So at the time, I've been dating since I was in high school. So I wasn't dating throughout college. I've been with the same guys the whole time. So my friends were dating and I was watching them fumble and I was watching men treat them poorly. And I had this fear of like what it would be like if I had to date again. And I was like, I probably, it was like, and I used to always say this, and I was like, dang, I shouldn't be speaking this over myself. But I was like, anything ever happens with me and Terry, I am not dating again, because I don't want that for myself. But that's not a realistic statement. It was just that I had seen so many other people get burned that I was like, I'm definitely not touching the fire. No. I seen their scars. I don't want it. So like you said, with the conditioning, the more that we see, whether it be with our own experiences or others' experiences, things go wrong, we kind of get nervous for ourselves. We watch businesses fail, but we also watch businesses succeed. But we're not excited about, oh, I might go be successful just like these people. We're like, oh, I might fail just like these people. We always take the negative road and not like the high road. Like, there's so many times that things work out perfectly for others. Sometimes people go and touch it and they come out with $100, but we won't go and try it because we're like, but that one person got burned. So do I want to get burned or do I want to go try my hand at again $100? We don't know. That's just how our human brain works. And the more that we become an adult, sometimes I talked about this in another episode, we become too much of realist. Like, what's real going to happen? Or like, that's not real. Or like, we're thinking too much logistically that we forget that sense of imagination. As kids, we didn't care what was real and what was fake. I'm sure Lois jumping off that roof thinking, I'm about to fly. But now a logistic, like, adult brain is like, I can't fly. I'm not about to jump off this roof. But as a kid, we had no inhibitions. We were like, let's do it. We just want to try. I think that if we get back to the space of wanting to try, like rebirthing ourselves, rebirthing that childlike imagination, that childlike zeal, like, we might be able to do so much more. We might be more capable of so much more, which is why I love being creative, because that is one of the main things that makes us so special. We don't lose that imagination. So oftentimes people look at us and they're like, dang, they're so childish. Or, oh my God, right? Crazy. They don't get it. But that's because we still have such a great hold and a grasp on that so many people have lost in this fight to be an adult and to be proper, put together, and to have their tie and their shirt putting up to the neck or whatever the case may be. And we're just so loose and free. And we take the chances. So it's so great to hear, like, both of you ladies talk about the chances you took with your brands and with the podcast, because imagine if you didn't. Mm-hmm. Imagine if you didn't touch the fire. You would have never known that you weren't going to get burned, because you got okay to me. So thinking about that is, like, one of the things that has really shifted how I feel as an adult, to kind of bring me back some of that childlike imagination, like, to lose some of that, like, boredom that comes with adulthood.
Yeah. So you both said, like, either things have happened or you've seen it happen to other people. But what about the things that people say? For instance, we're all African American women. And one of the hugest things that I consider imposter syndrome is how we as Black women have tried to, in the past, conform to the quote unquote European beauty standards. For me, growing up, when I was natural the first time before I started getting perms, it was like no Black woman in my area was doing natural hair. It was all perms, or you just gonna have to go to the Africans to get your braids. And so when I transitioned back to being natural, it was really hard to, like, love my natural hair because of the things other black women, older Black women, my grandmother would say. It's like, you going there looking like that? You not going to put something on your head? You not going to comb it? Like, grandma, this is my natural hair. This is the way it grows out of my head. I'm putting it in a slick bun. What else do you want me to do? So I really think that the things that people say, more specifically people in our community, since we are all Black women, has a huge impact on us becoming imposters, or us losing our confidence in what we are doing or how we look. So that's a huge one for me.
Definitely. I think Lo kind of touched on that earlier, and I was really moved by the way she put it, because I work in metaphors, and she talked about this, like, blatant canvas. And I've talked about this in a previous season with one of our guests about how, like, sometimes when people come in and they project things on you, you start to start to become who you are. So if we talk about that same blank canvas Lo said, if you have a blank canvas and people walk up to it and they put ugly on it, or they put nappy headed, or they put big lips, or they put whatever the case may be, all these things that are projected onto Black women. And we look at that canvas and we allow it to be a mirror, and we're like, oh, okay, I'm ugly, I have nappy hair, or whatever the case may be. And we start to, like, allow those things to become who we are. We lose who we are. So we have to, like, correct those things. You have to mark out ugly and put beautiful. We have to mark out nappy head and put natural, and it's my crown or whatever the case may be. We have to reclaim the things that were negatively said about who we are. Because growing up, I struggled a lot in grade school because kids are just mean. You know, kids, it's just horrible. Stay and do whatever they feel to you when you're young. And a lot of that you take on because you're young. You don't know any better. You don't know who you are yet. So you allow what other people say you are to be who you are. But mm-hmm. when I realized who I was, I had more confidence. And a lot of that was in my natural hair journey. So by the time I got to college, I only wore my natural hair. Like, I was making a statement for myself. It wasn't for anybody else, but it was like, I'm wearing my natural hair like this. I'm not gonna do any weaves right now. I'm not gonna do wigs right now. And then I got older and I was like, okay, convenience. I take it back.
That part.
We're gonna do this, we're gonna do some braids, we're gonna switch it up. Because it was like, I also have found out that I got to a place where I was not